mitzvah of tefillin. So whenever you speak about any mitzvah, you have to always break down the mitzvah into its different components. You have to speak about the chefter shel mitzvah and the ma'aseh shel mitzvah. So we're going to do the same for the mitzvah of tefillin. At first, we'll speak a little bit about what makes up the chefter shel tefillin, all the halachas that govern making sure you have a kosher bit of tefillin, and then assuming that you have a kosher bit of tefillin, now what are you supposed to do with it? How do you put on the tefillin? Where do you put on the tefillin? When do you put on the tefillin? Etc. All the dinim that govern the ma'aseh. So when we speak about the chefter of tefillin, so we have to further break that down to three categories, because there are really three different components that make up a kosher bit of tefillin. One are the halachas that govern the parashios, one are the halachas that govern the batim, and the third are the halachas that govern the rituals. If there's a problem, a significant problem in any one of those three, that will throw into question the validity of the entire chefter shel mitzvah. Of course, we'll throw into question the validity of your kiyum mitzvah. So let's see if we can begin first today discussing some of the halachas that govern the parashiyos, and then hopefully in the next week we'll move into the batim, ritzus, etc., and then we'll move on to some of the aspects of the ma'aseh mitzvahs related to the gavur itself. So whenever we speak about the Chefza, in terms of the Chefza of the Parashios, so we cannot look at Tefillin in a vacuum. Tefillin is part of other areas of Halacha that are governed by the Halachas of Kesivas Parashios. So let's say, LaMoshe, you have the Mitzvah Mezuzah, also is governed by the Halachas of Kesivas Parashios. Sefer Torah is also governed by the Halachas of a lot of Parashios, the entire Sefer Torah. So whenever we speak about these three Chefats, Shal Mitzvah, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, we're pretty much going to lump them all together, because the Halachas are 99% of the time the same. There's one particular quirk that Tefillin and Mezuzah have that Sefer Torah doesn't have. We'll make mention of that in a moment. But for the most part, the Halachas are pretty much the same. What do we mean by that? The Halachas are the same. So for all three areas of Ksivas Sefer Torah, Ksivas Parshas of Tefillin, Ksivas Parshas of Mezuzahs, so the halachas are governed by what's called Ksiva in halacha, and the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos in the 12th parak that whenever we have a mitzvah of Ksiva, so then the halacha tells us that it has to be what's called a Ksiva Tama. It has to be a perfect, beautiful Ksiva, Chsaf Tam, even though the phrase of Chsaf Tam is referring primarily to Mezuzah. But since it's in the context of Tefillin also, and we derive from Tefillin Mezuzah and Sefer Torah also, it's one big package deal. So the halacha requires that it be a ksiva tam, it has to be a perfect ksiva. What exactly does that mean, that it has to be a perfect ksiva? The Gemara says, shlotid be'os l'chavrta, that each and every os has to be clearly recognizable as its own os, and cannot be confused with any other os. So what does that mean? So there are really almost two different parts of that halacha. Number one is that each os has to be recognizable as an os. That means there are halachas that govern any given os. So let's say if you decide to write a gimel, and you decide to write it your own way, looking like a gimel, that's not an os. That's not what the Ksivas os is all about. So a gimel has to look like a gimel, and a beis has to look like a beis, and a daal has to look like a daal. Each and every halacha, each and every os has halachas that govern what makes it look like an os. Now, what exactly does that mean? So we know that if you take a look at a Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah, so you're going to see these beautiful osios written in this very, very fancy calligraphy and artistic kind of a manner. And then you're going to have Tavin coming out of this direction, and Kutzim coming out of that direction, and Feet coming out of that direction. And then you're going to read the Gemara of Masechet Shabbos, and you're going to find out that why does a Beis have a thing sticking in the back, and why does a Reish have this, and why does a Shin have this point, that everything's deep. Deep Sisrei Torah, mystical secrets of creation behind all the different parts of the oath. But the question is, how much of that is nice, and how much of it is really ma'akev? So this comes very, very unclear. At what point do we say that this oath is so nifso, this oath is so off, there's so many parts of this oath that are missing, that we can no longer call it a beis? At what point do we say, oh, it's basically a base, it looks like a base, it's just it's missing a tagia, missing a kutzia, missing a kutzia, different things. So it may not have all the deep secrets of creation to it, but tachlis, at the end of the day, is good enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. So that's very, very unclear. So what makes it very, very unclear is that the Gemara only talks about one particular oath, almost as an illustration, as an example, and we're supposed to extrapolate from this Gemara to everything else. So the Gemara, Maseches Berachos, Daf Chaf Tes, tells us both in the context of mezuzahs, and then a little later talks about in the context of tefillin, and the same carries over in the Torah. The Gemara picks on one oath. The Gemara could have picked on any one of the 22 oaths, but it picked on one. The one oath the Gemara says is a yud. The Gemara says if you write a yud and all the different parts of the yud are not present, then the yud is possible, and the mezuzah is possible, and the tefillin is possible, and the same Torah is possible. Everything is possible if the yud is not present. What does that mean, the yud is not present? The Gemara says even if the yud is basically present, but part of the yud is missing, part of it's missing, that's like the whole thing is missing. So to describe that phenomenon, what's called a part of a yud, that's absolutely ma'akad min ha-toyrens, as of the ois is not there. So Gemara coins the very famous phrase called the kutza shel yud. The Gemara says a little shmitching of yud, a little something, a little drop of the yud is missing. So then the entire yud is command leisa. The entire yud is command leisa. Then the entire parsha is command leisa, and the tefillin are command leisa. And the sefer Torah is command leisa. The whole thing is no good on the level of deraisa because that's not called the chsaftam. So what exactly is this mystical, magical kutzo shel yud? Do we have a mark? We even have a mark here. Okay, good. So what exactly is this kutzo shel yud? So there are three sheets and we're showing them what it is. So a yud normally looks something like this. It's probably possible because it's not black. Right? Okay? But you have three different possibilities what a kutzo shel yud is. So Rashi says the kutzo shel yud is the right leg of the yud. So according to Rashi, it means if you just have a blob of ink or something, that's not a yud. That's called the kutzo shel yud. So Tosfos asks in Rashi, now, what do you mean? That's not a kutzo shel yud. That's the yud itself. That's part of yud. Otherwise, it's a blob of ink. So Tosfos says, why does the Gemara consider the right leg to be a kutzo shel yud? That's the leg. That's the os itself. So what is the addendum to the os? What is this kutzo shel yud that's ma'akev midaraisa? So Ben Etam claims it's one of these two. So the way we have Ben Etam presented, it seems to be this one. Some Rishonim call Ben Etam, it's this one. So when we write yud, we're going to have all three. We're going to have a leg for sure. We're going to have tops. We're going to have bottoms. We want to be covered on all bases to make sure that our tefillin, sefer Torah, and mezuzah are all kosher l'chaladeus. But according to Ben Etam, the kutzo shel yud is potentially a very, very small, what would otherwise I would have thought would be almost an insignificant part of the letter. And afa pichein, the Gemara says that's a problem. So the problem is that we have no idea what to do with this statement of the Gemara about the other 21 letters. So how do you know which parts of Reishis of Akev, which parts of Beis of Akev, which part of Gimel of Akev? It's very, very hard to know. So that's why you have a lot of different shitas in Poskim as to try to be medayik, different things in the Gemara, which parts are really Akev and which parts are just deal l'chadchila for mystical, deep, secret, Kabbalistic reasons, and which ones are really integral in terms of the Kasha of the Oath. So it's very, very unclear. So you have an entire Simon Shulchan Aruch to the Lamed Vav, Mishnah Sefer, Mishnah Berurah wrote, to try to collect from the Rishon and the Gedolei Poskim, it goes letter by letter to try to show you which part of the letters are mamish ma'akev and which part of the letters are not mamish ma'akev. We're not going to go through every single intricacy or details of that. Just be aware of the fact that such a discussion in Shulchan Aruch does exist. Then you have another part, which we mentioned before, that is critical, and that's what's called Shlotid Ma'ois Techaverta. That, the Gemara says explicitly, if you have a letter that resembles a different letter, why does it resemble a different letter? Let's say you made the va. Let's say you made this yud very, very long. The I drew it over here, but it's not the scale of anything. So what if you in every letter, let's say you had days, something like this, and then you wrote a yud like this? I would probably guess this is not a yud anymore. I would think this is a. What does this look like? If your beige is the same size as this, what does it look like?
Beige.
Something, okay? It looks like, it does look like a yud. So a very long yud is going to look like a vav, or a very, very short vav is going to look like a yud. A very, very long zayin is going to look like a num sofit. A clumsy bays, which is not squared off like it should be, is going to resemble a what? A chaf. A resh that has a little schmitzik sticking out of its back is going to look closer like a dal than a resh. So kaheina v'kaheina, you can have a lot of these shlotid ba'os nechavertos. So shlotid ba'os nechavertos are disasters. Those will disqualify the entire sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzahs on a level of deraisa. How do you know whether you have a tidbit as nechaverta? That's a very, very tricky kind of a statement. It's almost certain subjective. I think it looks like a vav, you think it looks like a yud. Who's machriya? So that's what the Gemara says in the third parak of Maseches Menachos. Who's machriya is a katan, a child who is not so smart and not so dumb. If he's very, very smart, then he's too smart for his own sense. If he doesn't know how to read, so then that's pretty silly to bring him in to check him out. So you have to find a child around the age of six or so who knows how to read, he knows how to identify letters, but he's not the top of the class. He's not the crackerjack in his alpha phase, because then he'll be chaperayim quickly what you're asking him. So you have to bring that kind of a tinok, and that kind of a tinok checks and determines what the shear is. That's what the din is. The din is nikva based on that shear of a tinok being able to tell whether it's a vav or whether it's a yud. Chayesus on the spot points out that even though the Gemara only talks about kriyas atinok for sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos, the same should probably be for gittin, because gittin also the halacha is every letter has to be recognizable. If let's say the person's name is I don't know, let's see, what's a good name that has a yud in it? Yehuda, okay? And if you wrote the Yud too long, so now it looks like his name is Vehuda. So that's a different person. That's not Yehuda, that's Vehuda. So you have to, or let's say the Vav in Yehuda was written with the Yud, it's Yehida. It's Chassidish guy, it's Yehida, it's not Yehuda anymore. And you have to always be very, very careful that all the letters that you get are also written in the right proportion, that nobody should mistake one letter for the next. And Tosfos is right. And let's say you have a letter that's in doubt. So what do? So you bring the same Tinoch to check to see what the Shear is. So the first time I ever heard of that halacha was when I was a little boy. I was about 6 or 7 years old, and we got a call from the rabbi in town that I should quickly come over. They need me right away in the rabbi's house. I had no idea what they wanted me. I remember my mother told me I have to put on a white shirt because the rabbi called. It's covered in terror in those days. So I put on a white shirt. I went across the street, and I remember I didn't really understand exactly what was going on, but I remember at the time there was the rabbi was there, and there was another man there with a long white beard, and there was a man and a woman, a couple of other people floating around. I realized it was a get. I mean, I didn't realize until 10 years later there was a get that they were being massaged there, and there was apparently some kind of a question about one of the letters, and they wanted a tino to check. So I looked at it, and I don't remember what I said at the time, but I must have said the right thing, because I remember everyone, I got a candy at the end, they gave a sigh of relief, and I was happy. So that was the first time I was mocked for a get. So I tossed in the shower. Okay, good, fine. Anyway, back to our story. So these didn't are all emanating from this halacha of you need a ksiva, you need a ksiva tamba. So each letter has to be independently correct. Each letter cannot resemble another one. Then the Gemara has another chiddush in Menachas Daf Chavtes, both of Sefer Torah Tehillim and Mezuzos, that every letter has to be mukav gvil. That every letter has to not only be perfect in its own sense, but every letter has to be surrounded on all edges by klaf. Where does that din come from? So the Gemara never says. The Gemara never tells us what the makom of that din is. So Tosfos and Gittin of Chof claims that that's also learned out from Chesiva Tama. That that's a special din by Chesiva Tama Mezuzos, that you need a Chesiva Tama. And then Tosfos has a strange thing. Tosfos writes, and therefore that din doesn't apply to a get. Tosfos claims if two letters are touching a get, that would be okay, because the din of Chesiva Tama don't apply to a get, which is very startling, because the din of Shlo Tidma Ois L'Chavrata, which is also learned out from Chesiva Tama, does apply to a get. So how did Tosfos know which dinim of Ksiva Tama do apply, which dinim don't apply? That's a tzarchim, and we're going to tell us to get to figure that out. But I'll call him, there is a dinim in a Torah that any letter in a Sefer Torah to a mezuzah that's touching is automatically considered to be possible. It apostles the whole chef to shemitzvah and the love of their eyes. Again, maybe based on Ksiva Tama, maybe based on other things. There is a famous word from the Beis HaLevi where he has a whole Shul Torah about what the nature of this din of Mukav Gvil is all about. It ultimately boils down to really 2 days in the Beis Yosef. There's a whole discussion in the Beis Yosef about what's the din when we speak about Ksiva Tama. Does Ksiva Tama mean that each letter has to be surrounded by klaf? That's the Lashon HaGemara. Kol she'ein mukav gvil, it's possible gvil klaf, we're using it interchangeably. It's slightly different, but for our purposes we'll use them interchangeably. So the Gemara's Lashon is it has to be mukav gvil. So is that the nature of the din? That every letter has to be mukav gvil? Well, no, that's not the nature of the din. The nature of the din is that letters can't touch. But there is no din that has to be mukav gvil. Might have come in, it sounds like semantics. So no, there's a big, big difference. Let's say you have a letter that goes to the bottom of the klaf. It goes all the way to the end of the klaf, and there's no klaf in the bottom of that letter. On the other hand, it's not touching anything. There's no letter on the bottom. So would that be a problem or not? That's a big, big machlokes in the Rishon. That's a big, big deal in Shulchan Aruch. About would that be a problem or not? So the answer depends what you think the nature of the psul is. If you think the din is that letters can't touch, then the letters are not touching. If you think the psul is it has to be mukav gvil, then that wouldn't be that wouldn't pose a problem. So a kol panim, there is a din of mukav gvil. Therefore, if you find such a mistake in a sefer Torah mezuzos, you're in big, big, big trouble. Fine, so that's another din. So all the din that we mention now at least appear in the Gemara in the context of sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos. The Gemara says befeirush that uchsaf dam the pasuk is by mezuzah by tefillin. So each letter has to be independently okay. Each letter can't resemble another letter. Each letter can't touch another letter. All those dinim are all tefillin, sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah oriented. Then you have another din that appears in the Gemara, taka not by sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah, appears by gittin. But all the rishonim assume that it carries over to sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah as well. And that's the din that appears in Maseches Gittin, the second berak, the sugya of chak toiches. The Gemara says that let's say you write a get, but not by writing letters, rather by removing a background. So you punch out a background, you remove a background, and now, lo and behold, your love for the letter. So the Gemara says that's a problem. That's not considered to be an acceptable get. Because the Torah says, v'chos of blood has to be a ma'isek siva, it can't be a pushed out background. So the Rishonim write based on that, what would the din be in the following case? Let's say a person is writing a letter on a get, and they spill some ink. and they realize, oh my goodness, the next letter is Yehuda. It's supposed to be a Yehuda. The guy's name is Yehuda. I spilled some ink. Why should I bother erasing, mopping up all the ink? I'll just wait for it to dry for a little bit, and then I'll just scratch away some of the excess ink, and I'll patchka around a little bit, and lo and behold, we'll end up with a perfectly formed yud. So the Rishon write that get is pulsum in the Torah. That was an eshdus deraisa, because that's called chak teichas, because you form the letter by removing the ink rather than putting the ink onto the cloth. So that would not be acceptable. So the Gemara says that din legabe get. So come all the Rishonim and say, we can extrapolate from that to say v'tar tzulim mezuzos. If it's not called a maisek siva for the purposes of gittin, then it's not called a maisek siva for the purposes of v'tar tzulim mezuzos. And therefore, any letter that was formed through the process of chak toichos will automatically be problematic. So that's a din that also appears in Shulchan Aruch. So again, this is another din, minat Torah, but it doesn't have its roots in Sefer Torah Muzos, so it was extrapolated, it was derived from the Pasha of Gittin. So there is a big, big machlekes Rishonim, a very, very important machlekes Rishonim, about how does Halacha 3 and Halacha 4 mix together. We said before that you can't have two letters that are touching in the state that they are in the Pasul minat Torah, and we said you can't form a letter by doing Chav Teichas. What is the din if you have two letters that were written? Each one was written independently kosher, and now you want to be. Now you realize that they're touching, so I want to salvage that sefer Torah from mezuzas, but I don't want to erase the entire letter. All I want to do is simply just cut between the two. I want to take a little razor blade and just separate between the two letters. Is that called a chisaron of chak teichas or not? So there were some rishonim who say that's not called chak teichas. The Rush writes that's not called chak teichas. Chak teichas means you're not allowed to form the letter through chakita, through erasing. Here the letter was formed already. It's just there's almost like an external din, there's a tangential din that two kosher letters are not allowed to touch. But since each letter independently is a kosher letter, each one was formed properly. So the fact that you're separating between the two through an act of chakika, that doesn't pose a problem. That letter would still that sifto would still be okay. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that lemaisa b'sheol sham the sefer Torah is possible, but the sheol sham the parish of tefillin mezuzah is possible. So if you're going to go ahead and take a razor blade and separate between the two, that's going to pose a problem. That's going to be possible with deraisa because of chak teichas. So again, it's a fourth halacha, the halacha of chak teichas, and now we're not even sure how that halacha plays out. You may be wondering why am I telling you this particular thing. Because this particular thing was actually a shaila halacha ma'isa that we had on a sefer Torah way, 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 way back about 12 years ago in NCS Waikolo. The following shaila ma'isa shaila choya, mamish this exact shaila on the Rishonim. We were on a tiyul somewhere. We were davening in some far-flung moshav in Yehupitzville, and we had only one sefer Torah there. And we noticed that we were laying on a Monday morning. We noticed that two of the ICS were touching one another. So the question is, what do you do at that point? So if you follow the Rishonim, we'll say that you just take out a key, a razor blade, a scissors, and just split between the two, and shalom Yisrael, and everything is good. But if you're machmir for the other shita, that you can't do that, that would be possible in the Torah, with the Chav Teichas, and the only way to salvage the same Torah would be to erase both letters, and then to start over again. So how do we paskin l'halacha on this? So the Shulchan Aruch is making, Shulchan Aruch Ikra did paskins that it's okay, he quotes the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah of another day, paskins l'kula, that as long as the letters were written the way they are, even though they are touching, that's not called the Chisar of Chavteichas, just take out a scissors, take out a razor blade, a key or something, and just scratch between the two. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Acharonim more machmir for this, who said that maybe l'chadchila we should be machmir for this, and Mishnah Berurah recommends l'chadchila that one should try to be machmir, one should erase the letters of the Sefer Torah and then start over again. So here was that challenge. The challenge was we did not have a sefer with us, nobody had a clue how to write letters in the Sefer Torah, but you don't need a PhD in Zafiris to figure out how to erase letters. You just erase, you take the key and just erase. So I was more than comfortable to take out a little scissors or something and just make a little tidy slit between the two letters, but I was not comfortable to erase the entire letter and start it all over again. So the question was, what should we do? So this was, I thought, was a big shasachach. I said, this is when this is Moshav, no one is ever going to get the Sefer Torah fixed. It's going to be this way, Liol and Vohed, where the last people of civilization were davening here, and it's out here, we must have the Sefer Torah. To make matters better, it was a Sephardi Sefer Torah. So I didn't feel so bad about it, because the Sephardi followed the Shulchan Aruch, and I'm going to follow every chumra of the Be'alachas. So I thought it was okay. So that's what we did. So I took out the scissors, and I scratched between the two. Years later, I saw that there was a Pesach program in this particular Moshav. So I figured out, Baruch Hashem, okay, so it was Machshe for the Sefer Torah, for all the people who want to come and lane. I'm going to say, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like the Chachilah, but at least there are problems in the face of problems. Okay, good. Back to our podcast. So again, so we have all these dinim that apply to tefillin, mezuzah, and Torah across the board. Some of them apply to kitten as well. And then we have a fifth halacha. The fifth halacha is a halacha that, believe it or not, doesn't appear in the Gemara, at least not explicitly. It appears in the Mechilta, the Beresh HaTanayim, and Shmos, and all the Rishonim quote the halacha. We assume that it exists, the halacha. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Pelisho Pikvuk, but in the Gemara itself, it's not explicit. And that's the Dinim Shalok Yisidron. That whenever you write parashas and tefillin and mezuzahs, you have to write them in order. You can't, you wrote a whole parasha, and then you realize, oh, I forgot to write the vav. The first vav, Yadavash and Moshalema. Guy spent 15 hours writing for your parasha and tefillin, and then he forgot to write the first vav, so you can't just fill it in afterwards. That would be possible in a Torah. Because by tefillin and mezuzah, it has to be b'hayu. It's got to be considered. It has to be considered by yasam. So that din happens not to apply to Sefer Torah. If it did, that would be a very, very expensive chumrah. It means you just spent an entire year writing Sefer Torah and you forgot to write the Beis Habreishis, so you have to throw the whole thing out, put the whole thing in Geniz, and there's no such thing. So it's true by Tefillin and Mezuzahs, but it's not true by Sefer Torah. That's why, by the way, why the Mishnah Berurah says, in that case we said before, that's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends, if you have two letters that are touching, so by Sefer Torah, you have the option of erasing both letters and starting over again, because it's not going to be a problem with the Tefillin. By Tefillin and Mezuzahs, where you don't have that option, so it says then you can rely on the Rosh and just split between the two. So this other din of Shalom Kisidron is a very, very important din. This is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, why the Sefer has to be a real Yirei Shemayim, because other things that the Sefer, other mistakes the Sefer made may be able to be caught, but no one will be able to ever catch him on this one. No one, if you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, no one will ever know whether he was careless and he wrote something Shalom Kisidron. So the Sefer isn't a big Yirei Shemayim, and he just spent 15 hours writing a Parashat Tefillin, and then he realizes that he made a mistake back in the Parashat Kodesh. He's going to have a tremendous Yetzirah to just kind of fill in the extra letter or something, and no one will ever be wiser for it, so except the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yirei Shemayim, Yirei Shemayim. So the Sefer has to be a big, big Yirei Shemayim. There's once a story, somebody once, there was a Sefer who came to the Ger Rebbe, and he said to him, well, he's having trouble, he's a Sefer, he trained to be a Sefer, but he can't write, because he's such pachad when he writes, it's very hard for him to write properly, because he has such pachad. So the Ger Rebbe said to him, so who do we want to be Sefer? The people who don't have pachad. He said, we want those are the good people, those are the Yerushalayim, the people we want. You don't have to be neurotic, you don't have to be crazy, but we want them to be the Yerushalayim, to be able to write with the proper awe of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anyway, getting back to the story, so we try to give you a little bit of an overview as to some of the halachas that govern Ksivas HaParshiyos. Again, we didn't quite do justice to all of Siman Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis is the longest Siman in Hilchos Tefillin, and I think it's the longest Siman in Shulchan Aruch, in Or HaChaim, if I'm not mistaken. It's a very, very long Siman, and much of it deals with all the intricacies of some of the dinim that we spoke about. So we just mapped off all of Siman Lamed Beis in 25 and a half minutes or so, just to give a little bit of the Rosh HaParak and what are some of the halachas that go into the Parshiyos of Tefillin and by extension by Mezuzah. And again, some of these halachas carry over to Sefer Torah as well. There are a few other simple halachas that you have to be aware of, that Tefillin has to be written on the Parshiyos, have to be Or Behemot Tehorah. You have to be from kosher animal skins. We'll talk about this a little bit more. We talk about the Batman and Tzuos. Also have that similar halacha. In addition, the Parshiyos of Tefillin and Mezuzahs have to be written B'dyo. They have to be written with ink. What exactly the term ink means? Does ink mean a very, very specific recipe? It has to have X, Y, and Z in it in order to be halacha the ink? Or no, that as long as it's black, basically black, so that would be good enough. So, but Maisa, there is some halacha which seems that has to be D.O., not clear exactly whether there's a specific recipe for D.O., but D.O. just means black in contrast to other colors. Yes, if Sefer wants to do things a little creative, he wants to have red osius, wants to have gold osius, green osius, that would obviously not be acceptable. There are a few other halachas that govern the writing of the parashas. The parashas have to all be written l'shma. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about this when we talk about the making of the bathroom to us as well, that they have to be done l'shem kedusha. So before the sefer begins, he has to say l'shem kedusha, sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah, depending on which one he's going to be writing. Then in addition to being mekadesh the parashas, he has to also have kiddush Hashemus. Every time he gets to Shem Hashem, so he has to be remekadesh. He has to say again, Hashem Kedush Hashem. So these are all the ABCs of Safras. These are all dinim that are spelled out explicitly throughout some of the days. These are the things that a Sofer has to be aware of. Again, most of us are not Sofrim, so for most of us, these particular halachas are not going to be so relevant, but it's important for us just to be aware of, just to be cognizant of. If you're a Rav ever, so you have to be aware of a lot of these halachas that God Sefer Torah, because you have to figure out what's kosher, what's possible. Are the letters touching, not touching? Do you need a Kriyas Tehillah, not a Kriyas Tehillah? Is the Kriyas Tehillah missing, not missing? Those halachas are going to potentially govern Hilchos Sefer Torah. Just as an aside, Hilchos Sefer Torah, we're very, very makeable about a lot of shailas that come up. It's a lot of things in similar days in machleksim, not clear machleksim shanims. So when it comes to tefillah mezuzahs, we always tend to be machmir because the shalas of deraisas. When it comes to sefer Torah, so we always tend to be makel. Whenever you have a lot of shalas in a sefer Torah, we will not put away a sefer Torah unless it's outright pasul lechol hadeis, because there is a Rambam, at least in the tshuva, the Rambam sells himself in Mishnah Torah, but the Rambam in the tshuva and some mishnayim hold that for kriyas haTorah is only derabbanan, so you can even learn from a pasul sefer Torah. So we don't do that lechatchila. But if there's a psul in the Sefer Torah that comes up, so we're going to be 100 times, think 100 times before we put away the Sefer Torah. Since the halacha is that according to the Rambam, anyway, it's kosher, so if there's any suffix, then Mishnah will speak faithful. So that's where Rav is to be aware. Don't get into the habit of, you know, putting Sefer Torah back into the Iron Kodesh every psul whatsoever. You have to be sure that it's something that's possible for a day. If it's something that's only machlekes, so then we generally don't put things away if they're only machlekes. I had once a somewhat of a humorous / mystical story that happened. So this goes back about 20 years ago when I was in Rabbi Paramus. So I was away for the summers in L.A. to go to L.A. for the summers. And one Shabbos, so there was a problem in the Sefer Torah. They found there was a split in one of the letters. There was a crack in one of the letters, one of the Vavs. Not the Vav of Vav Ketia, it's supposed to have a crack. It happened to be in Parshas Pinchas, believe it or not, but it wasn't that Vav. So one of the Vavs had a crack in it. So there's a big machlokes rishonim, you have a crack in a letter, but the letter is basically readable the way it is, but lemaase, it's cracked. So is that good or not? So that's a shalom and rishayim. So tefillah mezuzahs, we would be machmir for that. But say the Torah, so many of the poskim make it. So when they at the time, they asked me what I thought about the shalom. The Rav there called me over in the middle of Christmas Torah. They asked me what I thought about the shalom. So I told him we could be making to continue laning, because it's a reminder of the gap of both poskim, that since some rishayim hold that vav is still kosher, even though most rishayim probably held it's no good. But since there is an opinion, there's an iwi that holds that it's kosher, we can rely on the mirror of Bishas Tachach, and he can keep on laning, but see if the shita is a Rambam. So that's what I told him. So what's so mystical about that story? So that particular Shabbos, that summer, Rabbi Roblovsky happened to be my summer rabbi. He was substituted for me in Paramus, so he was the summer rabbi then. After Shabbos, I called him, I asked him how was the Shabbos. He said everything was fine, except there was a quirk, there was a problem with the Sefer Torah, but there was a vav that had a crack in it. I said, 3,000 miles away, same Shabbos. So I asked him, what'd you do? What'd you paskin? So he said, I paskin like a Moshe of Yaakov, who said he continued to link. He said, Baruch Hashem. I said, I paskin for my balabatim, even when I'm 3,000 miles away. So then I was like very, very scared, very nervous to ask him the following question: which vav was it? If it would have been the same vav as the one in California, I would have like closed up shop and become some he told me it was a different vav. Okay, it's not good. Otherwise, what?
I'll stop the one in
shop. You know that for sure. Yeah, that's Tom and Ratzis to put away some time for that. Yeah, that's ridiculous. Okay, anyway, so it's close to a Chassidish story. It was a Lipish Chassidish story. Okay, stop it.